Now the Republican-controlled Joint Finance Committee is still in the process of creating the two-year state budget. Some of the recent headline items include childcare funding, higher education, roads, and more. And on a related note, the governor just signed a major bill changing the state's shared revenue system for local governments. Our state capitol team is here now to catch us up on the state budget process, and you could join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about the state budget? What are you hoping to see get more funding? What worries do you have about the upcoming two-year budget? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Anya Van Wangtendonk is a state capitol reporter, and Sean Johnson is the Capitol Bureau Chief for Wisconsin Public Radio. Anya, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And Sean, thanks for being with us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Let's start with you, Sean. What are some of the significant measures you're seeing the Joint Finance Committee over the last few days?
I think you're seeing it's kind of like crunch time for them as like in any human endeavor, as deadlines near, people tend to speed up their work. They are a bit behind where they typically have been since they've had this dynamic where they control the legislature and Evers controls the governor's office. And so, last week you saw them pass their school funding budget that was tied to this big shared revenue deal that they reached with Evers. They're ripping through the transportation budget last week, childcare funding. And, we've got University of Wisconsin and tax cuts yet to go here. So they want to get it all done by the end of June. It's their goal. They're just running out of days when they can do that. And so it's going to be coming pretty fast here.
I want to dig into some of those particular items. And Anya, you have been reporting on that childcare issue. There was a possible extension of pandemic era childcare subsidies that ended up not happening. Can you talk us through what changed there?
Yeah, so there was a state program in place that was utilizing federal COVID relief funds for the last couple of years. And it was really a direct payment to childcare providers. So it went to things like pay for workers and just sort of keeping the lights on. And a lot of childcare providers have said that this was a real lifeline during the pandemic. And Governor Evers and his budget requested $300 million to keep it going. And last week, very late on Thursday night, when the committee took up Child and Family Services, they did not end up providing any money to keep that program going. And so that program, Child Care Counts, will not be funded going forward. I've spoken to child care providers since then who have said that this means that they're going to need to raise tuition rates. For some of them, it's going to mean closing their doors. And so there has been a lot of pushback from the child care providing community about what this means for their industry.
Is there any plan in the state legislature elsewhere in the budget or in a separate bill to try to boost child care in a different way than this particular subsidy?
Yeah, so there are other programs through a combination of state and federal funding that go towards either directly to providers and then also that go to supporting low-income people, to be able to pay for these things. And Republicans on the committee have also said that they are going to unveil bills aimed at opening more child care centers. The details of that are not quite clear just yet. But what child care providers say about this particular program is that this means that there will just be a shortage of available slots for people. And so even people who can't afford without subsidies or without support to get their kids into childcare, there may just not be enough available rooms. And so that's where I think some of that argument is going on, is how to just make sure that there are enough available childcare slots for every kid to go.
And Sean, another big part of the story here is, as you mentioned, the shared revenue that Governor Evers and lawmakers agreed on. Now, this has a lot to do with what happens with the money that comes in and out of the state. It didn't end up being part of the actual budget, though. It was a side piece of legislation. First of all, why? Why did it get dealt with outside of the budget itself?
I think the why is almost exclusively to give Republican lawmakers more leverage when it comes to striking that deal. So anything they put in the budget, which is an appropriations bill, gives the governor the power to use his powerful partial veto pen. So he can kind of rewrite the budget, take out bits and pieces here and there to reshape it as he see fits. And so, you know, you think about all those new requirements that Republicans added to the shared revenue bill. For example, there's provisions in there that punish communities that cut their police budgets, or, you know, financially penalize them if they cut their police budgets. There's stuff in there that restricts diversity, equity, and inclusion funding around the state. Those are the types of things where if it was in the budget, Evers could use his veto pen, strike him out, and still keep the rest of what he liked. When it's in a bill like they passed it, he can't do that. So the deal is the deal. You know, what they passed and what he signed are the same thing. And that's why they're doing different pieces of the budget that way this year. But shared revenue, you know, it's funny. There's no money in the bill that they passed, but pretty much it talks about is money. So it's definitely still part of that process. And I think, you know, Capital Observers would say that's a big part of why the budget was a bit delayed this year, is because they had to figure that out first.
And what, Sean, this shared revenue thing does a lot of stuff. For someone watching what's happening in their community, what are some of the things they might notice when this money starts to flow in the way specified by the shared revenue bill?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to depend on your community, how big of an increase you get, how big of a percentage increase. But, you know, it could be that you don't notice how bad things could have gotten without it in a way. I mean, every community is going to see a 20% increase in state funding for these local governments. So you compare that to what's happened the last two decades when funding was either flat or actually cut. And that in itself is noteworthy. The fact that the state is increasing funding to local governments and tying it to the sales tax so that in the future, as tax revenues grow, local government funding will grow. That's significant. And I think in Milwaukee specifically, there is the possibility now for the city of Milwaukee to levy a sales tax of 2%, for Milwaukee County to increase its sales tax by 0.4%. That's substantial. And, you know, if the city leaders had warned that if they didn't get that funding, they were going to see massive cuts. There was talk of, you know, Milwaukee going bankrupt. This could potentially help them avoid that. So that could be, when all is said and done, maybe the largest impact of this legislation.
Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Jeff is with us in Superior. Jeff, hi.
Hi, good afternoon. Since the big storm of 2018, I've been working to get funding for Pattison State Park to make improvements there. And I got a email from Senator Romaine Quinn, the state senator up here. He said he did secure some funding, over $2 million for those projects at Pattison Park. And also, the city of Superior has been working for a local tax, to raise money to promote business up here. Do you have any news or information on that?
Jeff, thanks for the call. Anya, first of all, state park funding. I haven't seen a lot of headlines on that so far. Has that been on the table in the budget negotiations so far?
Yeah, we took that up a couple of weeks ago. It was the same evening that PFAS funding was taken up. And so that was sort of the big headline of the night, was a new major fund for PFAS remediation. And that night they did take up parks funding. I believe, you know, as a lot of these things go, there was a lot of kind of back and forth about the size of funding, Democrats wanting more, Republicans introducing not as much as Evers had requested. I have to say, at this point in this very long budget process, I would have to refresh my notes on exactly what happened with parks on that night, because I remember the PFAS bill being the very big takeaway from that evening, and then some parks funding also coming along for the ride.
And then local business funding. Now, I think shared revenue, that might be part of where that goes. Either of you, has there been anything that you've seen when it comes to a local business promotion that Jeff was wondering about? In his case, for Superior, but it's a question for everybody.
If you're talking about other local taxes, then that's not something that we've heard discussed here. There is, the legislature, the Republicans are going to unveil their overall, you know, tax package here in the next week or so. You know, it could be Thursday, could be next Tuesday. And, you know, that could be any number of things when it comes to taxes. They have been generally reluctant, though, about, you know, letting local communities increase taxes, which is partly why the Milwaukee vote was so significant.
We are catching. Thanks for that call, Jeff. We're catching up on the state budget. Sean Johnson is with us, Capitol Bureau Chief at WPR, and Anya Van Wijkendonk, our state capitol reporter. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. If you're following the state budget as it goes through, what are you happy to see so far? What are you worried about? What questions do you have? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas at WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk about Wisconsin state budget. We've got state capitol reporter Anya Van Wijkendonk with us and Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson catching us up on the latest news. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Let's turn to higher education, the UW system budget. Governor Evers had proposed a $305 million budget increase to the UW system. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss is looking to cut some money in an effort to eliminate diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives in the UW system. Here's Speaker Voss talking about DEI at the Republican State Convention last weekend.
This is probably, to me, the single most important issue that we are facing as a people, as a nation, and as really humanity. We have got to go back to exactly what was said earlier today. I think it's ironic that the goal that Martin Luther King laid out, where we are in a colorblind society, in many ways we've achieved that. And that should be something that every American, black, white, gay, Hispanic, rich, poor, should be proud of, that I think most people have kind of gotten to the point where what you want to do in your private life is your, it's your business, right? But when we get to kids, when we get to the university, we begin to say that DEI is the new religion for the left. They don't go to church on Sunday, but they have no problem using taxpayer dollars to evangelize on every college campus across the state. We have to stop it, put our foot down, and not allow it to continue. So hopefully we will.
Anya, this has become a bit of a budget showdown between Speaker Voss and Governor Evers on diversity and equity funding at the university. What is the latest on that?
Yeah, Evers came out pretty strongly against these statements and the proposed cuts. He said that it would be disastrous to the UW system, that it would harm education and the state workforce. Notably, this is kind of the second place in the budget process where DEI has come into play. It was also part of the shared revenue deal is to eliminate DEI funding from public employment opportunities. And so this is something that has become, I think, a little bit of a point of interest for Speaker Voss. Evers has made it pretty clear that he will not support these funding cuts for the UW system.
Let's bring on another caller at 800-642-1234. Pat is with us in Milwaukee. Pat, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I sometimes get excited and not hard to follow, but I'm hoping our state doesn't hand billionaires hundreds of millions of dollars, which all these other great programs we need money for. I'm talking about the Brewers Stadium, or what's it called now, some other company. I'm ashamed that our Democratic governor wants to hand billionaires, and I'm not using that term lightly, $290 million. Our city might want to do that too. This stadium should stand on its own. It's a business, right? Billionaires don't get involved in things that don't make money. Why do they keep wanting to get money from hardworking taxpayers that can't even really afford to go to these games?
Pat, I gotcha. Thanks for the call, Sean. I know our own Evan Casey has been following the proposals for some level of state funding for American Family Field, the Milwaukee Brewers Stadium. Do we know, Sean, where that stands now?
It sounds like you know, the Assembly Speaker, Robin Voss, wants to have something done, he said, by July 4th. We don't have details of that plan, but it also sounds like he wants to have a bipartisan deal. So, you know, why would Robin Voss want to have a bipartisan deal? I guess you look at what happened with shared revenue just recently. I mean, that required Democratic votes to pass the Senate, because you had some Republican senators there who didn't like the idea of letting Milwaukee raise its sales tax without a referendum. There is a possibility that you might have a similar number of Republican lawmakers who don't like the idea of the state spending money for the Brewers. You know, this is an issue where in the past you've had some Democratic lawmakers feel the same way. And then if you look at just what happened with the Milwaukee Bucks arena and the combination of state and local subsidies that went into that project, that ended up being a bipartisan vote. So, you know, the devil's in the detail on these things, but it does sound like they are looking at some combination of state and local funding for the Brewers. You are not right now hearing a loud opposition voice from either party saying, let's not do this, you know, and let's let wealthy owners fund these stadiums themselves, because I guess just in the reality of modern American professional sports, typically if a community kind of holds their ground like that, professional sports teams have a tendency to move to other cities where the governments are willing to put up the subsidies.
Pat, thanks for the call. Anya, in just our last less than a minute now, what are the next big items you're watching for?
What a great question. We are waiting. The really big one that we're keeping an eye open for is that vote on the UW budget, which got punted last week. And then we have tax cuts, as Sean mentioned, is another kind of big one. We're not really sure on this timeline. We are sort of waiting to hear whether we're going to be working Thursday night. A lot of things are kind of up in the air, but those are two of the big things I'm looking for.
All right. Stock up on sleep between now and then. And Anya and Sean, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rob.
Anya Van Wagtendonk is a state capitol reporter, Sean Johnson, Capitol Bureau Chief for Wisconsin Public Radio. They joined us to talk about the state budget process, what new changes have been made in the last week, what we can expect in the weeks to come. You can keep following their reporting and their colleagues on the WPR News team over at WPR.org, just about daily updates related to that state budget. Now, a federal court found last year that Wisconsin couldn't legally tax land owned by tribal members on the reservations of four northern Wisconsin tribes. It was a victory for supporters of tribal sovereignty. But as Daniel Kading reports, that victory has created a budget crisis for some rural towns. And local governments are dealing with backlash from non-tribal members who have seen their taxes skyrocket.
A black lab pit bull mix named Animush barks at the door of Sandy Derrigan's home. Derrigan has been living on property in the town of Sanborn since 1979. For most of her life, she and her late husband, Tom, paid taxes on the land. But it turns out they never owed a dime.
Yeah, I paid taxes all those years. I'll never get it back. But my grandchildren, they're assured a permanent homeland. That's what's important.
The 66-year-old Derrigan is a member of the Bad River Band of Lake Superior Chippewa, and her land is on the reservation. In 2018, four northern Wisconsin tribes, including Bad River, sued the state and nearly a dozen towns in federal court, arguing that they were being illegally taxed. Last year, they won. A federal appeals court ruled lands that are part of the reservation can't be taxed. Derrigan was relieved.
We have our permanent homeland here without threat of forced removal, and that means there's no taxation here.
Bad River Tribal Chairman Mike Wiggins Jr. says it also means tribal property can't be taken away.
There is a bit of a deep breath and a recognition of the change in reality that our tribal members who are private property owners within the reservation landscape, that their homes will not be foreclosed on and taken by state taxation processes.
The tribes argued the 1854 treaty that set aside their reservations gave them immunity from state taxation for all time. The state had argued that it could tax any land that had ever been sold to non-tribal members, even if the tribes later bought it back. When the ruling became final in November, 85% of taxable property in the Ashland County town of Sanborn was taken off the tax rolls, including Derrigan's land. That meant taxes skyrocketed for non-tribal residents. Sanborn resident Scott Breding told the Ashland County Board his property tax bill more than doubled from 2021. He paid roughly $22,000 last year.
Nobody said, you don't have to pay it, because if we didn't pay it, they would have foreclosed on our house.
Ashland County and four other counties expect to collect $1.8 million less in revenue over the next 2 years, and they'll lose $3.6 million in payments tribal members withheld while their lawsuit was pending. Bayfield County Administrator Mark Abels-Allison says they're lobbying lawmakers for state aid.
We think that it's a bigger picture issue and that there should be a role that both the state and federal government plays in assisting our communities.
Democratic Governor Tony Evers proposed roughly $1.1 million in state funding under the next two-year state budget to aid towns and counties affected by the ruling. If that's included in the final budget, they would receive more than $500,000 in the first year, and that money would be phased out over 10 years. Republican Representative Chance Green of Grandview says he and other lawmakers are trying to negotiate a solution.
I believe that it is on us to help the counties and townships involved.
Derrigan sympathizes with non-tribal residents because she thinks everyone works hard to pass something on to future generations. But she says the tribe and its members have lost lands because they couldn't afford to pay taxes.
And truly, you know, if you're not a member, they shouldn't have been here to begin with. This was our land set aside.
As discussions are ongoing, Derrigan says the tribe is proposing its own tax on lands within the reservation. The proposal would exempt tribal members, but it would require non-tribal residents who own lakefront property to pay a 5% tax. It would also allow the tribal council to seize lands for any unpaid bills. Wiggins, the tribe's chair, says Bad River's tax proposal isn't meant to be adversarial toward non-tribal residents. He says they're just like any other government, trying to generate revenue so that they'll be able to survive moving forward. Danielle Kading, Wisconsin Public Radio.